Well, Canaan, Egypt, pharaohs, sphinx, pyramids, the Nile River. What portion or parcel of that vast land, that historic land, captures your imagination? Maybe it was Richard Burton holding on to Elizabeth Taylor. For most of us, grew up thinking that's what Egypt was like. And in fact, Cleopatra was a Greek. She wasn't an Egyptian. Well, she is Egyptian, but of the Greco line that took control of ancient Egypt, right? Unfortunately for her, she wasn't that fabulously beautiful woman like Elizabeth Taylor. Guess I got a thing for Elizabeth Taylor. Like many men, huh? Nevertheless, the facts remain the facts, and they found coins from that era, and Cleopatra was quite a homely woman. The likeness on the coin is nothing that a monarch would have allowed if it weren't actually her. Oh, you got to trust me on this. She looks more like her brother than her mother. She's a mannish man. And so this is the kind of thing, though, that happens with a great historical place. I use the name Kemet because for some, that's what this vast land was known as. Sometimes in the past, people thought of the space as Nubia. But Nubia quite actually is the land south of what we think about as Egypt. Some people think Egypt isn't part of Africa, for that was a common rhetoric for a long period of Western civilization. How could those people have produced such a magnificent culture? What we know about Kemet or Egypt or the many other names it's been known as is that it's an amalgamation of people. Peoples from lower in the Nile, which starts in Lake Victoria and flows which way? North. The only river on the planet, I believe, that flows south to north.
The biggest river.
The biggest, well, the biggest. Okay. Nothing like being with you, you, so you'll be corrected.
The Monongahela in Pittsburgh runs north.
And I've been to that river. I should have known that. All right. So, this amazing river that gives life to this land, for without the Nile, Egypt is just a desert. But along that narrow strip, as the Nile flows, life blossoms. And there, what a blossoming has taken place. For over the ages and through time, and I'd even say space, amazing things have happened there. Lisa and I, in the middle of the night, I don't know why we were awake, were just watching a show on ancient cultures, ancient aliens. On the History Channel, I believe, all about Egypt's blossoming. Well, the blossoming came about, according to these folks, because aliens came to Egypt. And there is something to it for a people who were kind of Bronze Age, you know, run-of-the-mill, hunter-gatherers, doing their human developmental process. Overnight, it seems like, jump into what we... It's like space age. They build structures that we don't understand that they built now. They started performing brain surgeries. They started doing things that had never been done before, at least never chronicled or stored as a knowledge base where anybody could ever look back and say, oh yes, some unknown group did this in some faraway place. No, in Egypt. And apparently in China, in the, I'm going to say the river, Ying River, Yi River, there's a river valley. Happened in Egypt, happened in China, happens in South America. These things happen, but let me give you a few things. Egypt, The place I believe, and many believe, that monotheism is first practiced. Jewish scholars tried to separate themselves from this understanding of the monotheism of Akhenaten. Akhenaten, the kind of heretic pharaoh that destroys the ancient tradition that was long held in Egypt of polytheism. Osiris and Horus and all these other gods that were operational within their pantheon. But Akhenaten says no. He destroys the priestly class for a time and builds a new city far in the desert. Because this pharaoh, this king, this visionary had a construction in his mind about the oneness of God. Now, as I delved into this, I found out that in actuality, some believe that the Egyptian pantheon of deities is much like the Hindu pantheon of deities. Multiple visions of a single source. God seen through your own lens. Many different gods, all representing the Godhead. People struggle with this. There are many books written. Who knows the actual reality of these people's existence or theological positions? What we do know is that this pharaoh king gave a gift to humanity. If for what seems to be just a 3-year period, this monotheistic paradigm takes shape, takes form, and the sun god as the representation of the Almighty serves as Egypt's shining star. Egypt, this land where, and I don't know if you know about it, the god Horus maybe proves Christianity wrong. And, oh, I'm ordained to give Christian worship, but they would strike me of that, because as I read the parallels between Horus and Jesus Christ, they're so striking. Do you know this story? No. All right. Horus was born of a virgin, as was Jesus, according to Scripture. The foster father of Horus was Seb, or Seb. Jesus was fostered by Joseph, right? Foster fathers. Horus was of royal descent. Jesus of Nazareth is in the line of King who? David. All right, I'm going to have to do some religious education for some adults around here. Horus's birth was accompanied by 3 solar deities, stargazers, who followed the morning star of Cyrus, bearing gifts. Jesus' birth was accompanied by 3 wise men, Zoroastrian stargazers, who followed a star in the east, bearing gifts. The birth of Horus was announced by angels. The birth of Jesus was announced by angels. Herod tried to murder the infant Horus. Herod slaughtered every firstborn in an attempt to kill Jesus. Horus is baptized at the age of 30. Jesus is baptized at the age of 30. Horus resists temptation by the evil Set. Set was to be the precursor of the Hebrew Satan. On a high mountain, Jesus resists the temptation of Satan on a high mountain. Horus had 12 followers, as did Jesus with his 12 disciples. Horus raised someone from the grave. Jesus raises Lazarus. Horus was buried and resurrected in the city of Anu. The place Bethany mentioned in John was a derivative of the word Beth and Anu, which translates house of Anu. The Y on the end of Bethany is interchangeable with the letter U. Striking parallel. Horus was killed by crucifixion. Not only an ancient Roman practice of slaughter, the Egyptians practiced it too. And of course, Jesus was put on that cross. Horus was accompanied by 2 thieves during his crucifixion. amazingly, so is our Jesus of Nazareth. Harvest was buried in a tomb. Jesus was buried in a tomb. Harvest was resurrected after 3 days and was said to be resurrected over a period of time afterwards. Striking similarity. The resurrection of Harvest was announced by three women. The resurrection of Jesus is announced by those three women that go to the tomb. Harvest was given the title KRST, which means anointed one. Jesus is given the Greek name Christ or Christos, meaning anointed one. You see, Egypt has played a phenomenal role in the development of the religious story of the Western world. Both the Hebraic and the Christian and Muslim understandings owe a great debt to this most ancient of civilizations. Egypt is the place where one of my favorite beverages, and some of you, yours may have been founded. It was founded there. It is beer. And it was beer. Now see, it's striking because the Egyptians had this habit of storing grains for hard times. For they knew that sometimes the floods may not come, and the wheat or the barley or the malt may not grow. And so they would store things in this dry, arid land. You'd think, well, these things are safe. They don't need airtight containers. But apparently they did, for a great flood came upon the land, flooding the storage houses and the containers. And in that hot, sun-drenched land, fermentation took place. And when they finally got in the storehouses to check on their grains, they found the most amazing beverage brewing. Beer was taken by the Egyptians, say some, up to Ireland, where it's been taken to new heights. Yes, the ancient Egyptians sailed along the coast of North Africa, through that Straits of Gibraltar, and along the coastal areas of Europe. Much of this information is available to you. Dig deep, folks. Explore your histories. For these people, stop everywhere along the way. I tend to think of the dark Irish more as the result of Egyptians having, did I say dark Irish? Black Irish, more as a result of the Egyptians having visited there. Who amongst you is of that black Irish? Dark hair, dark eyes. Yes. And my granddaughter, too. Yes, we are named Bailey. That is true. We are, in fact, the black Irish. Egypt. This place that offers us so much. An insight into, Kai, would you show that book that you've been looking at? Show it to everybody. A land and a culture that opens. Do it like you're Carol Marrow. Was that her name? She used to walk up and down the aisle with the book. There we go. Show the crowd. Show the throngs the book. And Egyptology is such a phenomenal subject that there are countless books. The followers of Egypt in New York City, there's a cult of Kemet that meets to study Egyptian history, religiosity. More things can be explored about this place than almost any land that I can think of. The oldest book in the Bible, or the Hebrew Bible, is what? Any you use are so great. Come, tell me. It's the book of Job, actually. The book of Job predates Genesis. The book of Job, some say, is an ancient Egyptian story. It would seem so. They are rather harsh people. And yes, that hot land is rather harsh, and the people are rather unkind. And Job is almost the most unkindest of stories. If you know it well, you know that this man who had everything and was the most well-behaved soul in that ancient time loses everything because of a bet between the great God and one of his chief consorts, call him Satan. Mm-hmm. They make a bet, and Job is put to the test. And Job is made to suffer, right? Job suffers miserably. Job gets a reprieve from his suffering because he is a good man. And God restores everything that he lost, right? Except what kind of human being could overcome the psychological baggage of losing wife, children, riches, everything one had known, having suffered shingles and every other kind of horrific skin infestation, boils and festering, right? This poor guy, Job. But again, it makes sense that a story like this would come out of Egypt, because Egypt is the place where death is more to be revered than life. For the Egyptian Book of the Dead chronicles how you, yes you individual people, can create a book that will guide you on your journey after you're dead. Your journey to the afterlife. So I live in this place. I take a part of Egypt. I'm a good you because we appropriate many things. A bit of Judaism, a bit of Buddhism. I appropriate this symbol. The Ankh, right? The Ankh means eternal life. This is the symbol that gives me hope. It means that my offspring here and my granddaughter will bear children, and there will be a piece of Gordon going on forever. I'm a bit of an egoist, and I like that idea. It works well for me to know that the line of Bailey will go on and on and on. I'm also a Gordon in many other things, right? How many of you have done your DNA? You know your story, you know your history? National Geographic's waiting for you. It's relatively reasonable. They'll trace you from a land very close to Egypt. In the Rift Valley of Africa, they'll trace your story up through Africa and out into the other lands of the world. And this Egyptian idea, this Egyptian culture, this Egyptian land that still lives, and if it weren't for the warfare or the threat of warfare, would still be on the top 10 list of where people visit. Because before the last round of insanity that kind of happened over there, the Arab Spring and, I don't know, Egypt being losing its democracy, if that can be said of what they had there, Muslim Brotherhood losing their power and position, and Egypt being under martial law, right? It seems like the military runs the state. Egypt was one of the top 10 destinations for travelers in the world. For the ideas and the reality of dates so big. Have you had Egyptian dates? Anybody? Don't just buy California dates that are the size of your thumb. Get an Egyptian date that's big and lush and fabulous. Get the figs. Get your falafels. Get your hummus. Get the things that come out of Egypt for this land that offers us She wanted to give me a line, but I didn't hear it. This glowing old thing can be tough. This Egypt that offers your imagination maybe more than you've ever really put together in a connect-the-dot way to this far-off place. Fabulous gods, horrific stories of woe, a river that floods, and the necessity of geometric landscaping comes to bear in this land that needed to control the waters from a river that gave life. Egypt, the space where our religious identities, even as Unitarian Universalists, for our chosen faith could not come to bear if it hadn't been for the stories that come out of Egypt. You see, Judaism and Christianity and Islam owe a direct connection to all that Egypt is. And I would dare say we modern humans, all of us, in the Far East or here in the West, owe a debt of gratitude to a people and a culture that lived today, the Coptic Church, early Christianity. For if you're a follower of Jesus the Nazarene, you know that the first convert to following him was the eunuch from Egypt. Right? Eunuch not necessarily meaning cut off at the pass. There are other uses of the word eunuch. Egypt. The single most, I'd say, important place in the development of all that the West becomes. For without the monotheistic traditions that develop and then take hold in Rome, in Western Europe, I don't believe the Protestant work ethic happens. I don't believe the industrial age happens as it played itself out. I don't believe we would be sitting here in America, this North American continent. Something about the things that happened in Egypt, something about the development of the Godhead with the oneness, be it a son, be it an old white man with a beard, however it's constructed, it sets forth an ideology and a way of living that allows the state, for the state religion controlled everything up until Martin Luther, Protestant Reformation, even for a good time after that, right? The Germanic states, city-states, whatever, under Lutheranism, Anglicanism in England, right? I can't believe what a beautiful Episcopal church is right here. That wasn't built for the poor people of Orange. It must have been money and high Sidney folks here once upon a time, right? These things didn't happen by happenstance. There's a connect-the-dot aha moment that you can put together through your own prism of understandings that connect Egypt to Greco-Roman Western cultures and give us a great story to tell, not once, not twice, but to retell it over and over again. For the medicines and the love of the stars, for the philosophies, Job or the marvelous Horus made Jesus. Egypt is a place to behold, to delight in, and to find a pathway to our ancestors. Don't sleep on Egypt. Don't forget your connection to that sacred space. Live long and prosper. Amen. All right. So join us now for singing We'll Build a Land, number 121 in your hymnal. Thank you. Distinguishing come to us from Psalm number 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Ah, where is help to come from? Help comes from the Eternal, who made heaven and earth. The Eternal guards you, sheltering you. The Eternal will protect you as you come and go, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.